Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the kids here. Thank you for just the fact that this church supports our kids, supports our families, and makes space for them. This morning, would you speak and would you help me, please? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, are you ready? I'm going to get you to participate in a little bit of something. Would you rather it to be summer all year round or winter all year round? Hands up for summer. Summer all year round, winter all year round. That's incorrect. If you got that answer, that is wrong. All right. Next question. Would you rather have to wear jumpers and long pants all year round or singlets and shorts all year round? Hands up for jumpers and long pants. Hands up for singlets and shorts, you immodest people. That is. Talk to the Lord about that. All right, last one. Would you rather have to have the heater on all year or the air conditioning on all year? Hands up for heater. Yeah, I thought that one wouldn't be very popular. Aircon. Must be the rest of you. Yeah, okay. That's fair. Oh, or a fire. Yeah. Now, these are impossible questions, too hard, and questions that I think about way too often in life. Obviously, right now, I would prefer summer, I would prefer jumpers, and I'd prefer the heater. But come summer, maybe I would be preferring winter and shorts and, what's the other thing? Air conditioning. Different seasons of the year require different resources. Nothing beats an electric blanket in winter. But nothing would kill me more than an electric blanket in summer. Am I right? Different seasons require different resources. Different seasons bring different needs. And just like the weather, we have different seasons in life. Some seasons in life bring great joy and fruitfulness and just seem easy. Some seasons in life are just plain old tough and just require the one foot in front of the other day after day. Some seasons are painful or just sad or lonely. Life goes through seasons, the ups and downs, the hills and valleys. Some seasons are short, some seasons just never seem to end. It goes on and on. And in each of these seasons, we have different needs. Did you see that correlation between the seasons there? What I want to share with you today is this. This is very simple. No matter what season of life you find yourself in, no matter what needs you have in those seasons, I believe in a God who is all you need in every season. I believe in a God who is able to meet every need you have in every season in which you find yourself. A God who doesn't just give handouts or quick fixes, but he gives you himself. And today I want to spend some time recommending this God to you wherever you're at and whatever season you find yourself in. So as you may have picked up today from the kids, we've been learning about this guy called David. And David lived about 1,000 years before Jesus, which is a long time ago now. And if there's something that I've learned from reading about his life and teaching about his life to the kids, it's that he went through a lot of different seasons. Seasons of waiting, seasons of homelessness, seasons of living in fear for his life, seasons of accomplishment and great joy, and seasons of deep regret and shame. Yet through all of this, he is described as being a man after God's own heart, which is what our Stumpy's kids just started talking, were just singing about, a man whose heart was beating for God. He was a man who learnt how God could be everything he needed in every one of those different seasons and challenges in which he found himself. A man who found contentment in his relationship with God. So this David guy, he also was actually a talented musician, and he wrote lots of songs, or what we call psalms. And these songs expressed a whole lot of things about how David was feeling during those different seasons. Some of his songs question God. In some of his songs, he's wrestling with God and trying to understand how God can be everything he needs. And in others, he's just blurting out his praise and his adoration of God. And you can look up David's songs with a quick Google search. But today we're going to look at one of his most famous songs or psalms, and it is Psalm 23. It's a song that expresses some insights about David's relationship with God and can help us to understand more of who God is and how we can relate to him. So we're going to spend some time reading this whole psalm. Are you ready? Here we go. Should be on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. So that's David's song. That is his Psalm 23 as we know it now. And it starts with these really famous words. Lots of people know these words. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Or some translations say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I want to pause here for a bit because this is what we're talking about today. That no matter what season we're in, we have all we need when we have God. This is like David's like thesis statement for the rest of his song. Everything under that kind of unpacks this initial statement about how the Lord is his shepherd. Now, remember, this is David writing this song, and David, he grew up as a shepherd. But in this song, he's kind of flipped his role. He's not only the shepherd, but he's actually put himself in the place of the sheep. And instead, he's put God in place of the shepherd. I'm sure there's some farmers out there who know a bit more about sheep than I do. I don't really know anything. But here's some things I do know. Sheep are vulnerable animals and fairly incapable of defending themselves. They're the kind of animal that can just wander off and get themselves lost and find themselves in a lot of trouble. But David knows what it is to be a good shepherd. If one of his sheep wandered off, he would have left the other sheep to go and find that sheep and bring it back. If they were traveling through a sketchy or a risky place, David would have been right there amongst the sheep with his sling, ready to guard off any predators that were coming. When the sheep would get thirsty, David would lead them to some fresh water and let them catch their breath. He was presumably a good shepherd, but David now assigns his good shepherding skills to God. And David placed himself in the place of the sheep, desperately needing God to be his shepherd. And so David begins with this huge statement, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need." The idea is that if God is my shepherd, no matter what season of life I'm in, I'm content. No matter what season of life I'm in, I'm content. So there's the thesis statement. Then he starts unpacking some of the qualities of a shepherd. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. God is a shepherd who knows your every need. He brings you peace. He satisfies your deepest thirst, guides you and strengthens you for the days, months, and the years ahead. Nothing leaves us with more peace. Nothing leaves us with more peace or more satisfaction than being in the presence of God. And then we get to this part, which is the part I really want to focus on today. He goes on to say this, "Even when I walk through the darkest valley." Now this is kind of your interpretation, whatever the darkest valley is in your life. "Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me." Perhaps one of the greatest truths about God is that he is with us. When we, like David, come to that place where we realize our desperate need for God and surrender ourselves to him, God promises to be with us. In fact, he sends his Holy Spirit to be in our lives. And so God literally dwells in us. Before Jesus, God used to dwell in the tabernacle, and then after that, the temple. But now, since Jesus, there's no need for a temple because we are the temple. God lives in us. And if this is true, that God in the form of the Holy Spirit is with us, then what else do we need? If God is as good as I believe him to be and as powerful as I believe him to be, and if God is who he, and if it is this God who is with me, then what else do I need? But to be honest, I forget this. I ignore his voice and I get way too caught up in the stresses and the fears of this life. And I feel the weight of the world on my shoulders. But David wrote that even in those seasons when we feel most lonely or needy or scared or filled with fear, his declaration from his own lived out experience with God is this: I will not be afraid. Why? Because he'll just grit his teeth and push through? No. Because he'll do some deep breathing and try to forget about all his issues? No. I will not be afraid. This is what David says. For you, that is God, for you are close beside me. I will not be afraid because you are with me. So have you ever considered that God is with you? And what might that change if that was a truth that you really believed? Now, I wonder how David was actually feeling when he was looking at Goliath. I reckon if anyone was allowed to wet their pants, David could. That was probably a good option. Goliath, this ruthless giant warrior in the face of David. But David's trust wasn't in his own abilities or in his own, thoughts that he could somehow take down this giant warrior. But David's trust was in the fact that God was with him. That God was with him and fighting his battles for him. So even though we like to think sometimes that David is this great underdog, if Goliath really saw who was beside David, if Goliath could really see who was with David, Goliath should have been the one wetting his pants. God was with David. And this is a theme that's been coming up for me a lot this year, that God is with me and therefore I don't need to fear. And he's been teaching me about this truth and slowly, slowly transforming the way that I deal with different seasons in my life. All right, it's story time. Are you ready? To understand this story, you have to understand that I'm naturally a bit of an anxious person. I remember if Mum was 1 minute late to pick me up from school, I would go from 0 to 100. I would try to stop my tears because I would assume that she'd had a crash and died. If I wasn't asleep at night before the song Once a Jolly Swagman came on my CD player, I would be too scared to sleep and I would pull out all my eyelashes. What? You heard that right. I had no eyelashes for a while there. Luckily, now that I'm an adult, all my anxiety and fear has gone away. Nah, that's not quite the case. So here we go. Here's the story. Fast forward 20 years, and some of you know I popped over to Israel earlier this year with my family, which was a lovely time for us. In the city of Jerusalem, there is this walled-in section called the Old City, and that's kind of the Jerusalem as we read it in the Bible. And so what we got to do on our final day when we were in Jerusalem is go to the Old City, and they had all these markets there, so we could go shopping in these markets. Now, the Old City itself is already quite hectic. There's a lot of people normally there. It's a very tourist dense place. But then the markets, they're even more hectic. So every market owner kind of sees you as walking money. And if you so much as glance the wrong way at something in their shop, you wouldn't be able to leave until you buy something. Add to that tourists from every nationality in the world barging through trying to get their own bargains. And it makes for a pretty hectic experience. I think there might be a photo of that if it's not up already. It's not a very good photo. It's the only one I could find of this. So it's quite a narrow place and quite a busy and wild kind of place. Now, on this day, so we finally get to go to the markets. On this day, we just so happen, this is not a lie. We just so happen to be in these markets called the David Street Markets. This is not a coincidence. The David Street Markets are named after our mate David. And I was with my family at this time, and I stupidly did that thing where I looked a little too closely at this little wooden nativity scene. And that was it. I was kidnapped, really. No, not quite kidnapped, but I was pulled into his shop, and I was not allowed to leave until I was going to buy something. Eventually, I think I offended him too much with my bartering, and I was finally able to leave. So I finally got out of the shop. I looked around. Wait a second. Where's my family? Oh, no. Where's my family? No, 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 no. And I started walking up. There's all these different little alleyways that come off the markets. And I was walking through them all going, no, 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 where's my family? I'm alone. Where are they? I can't find them. And I know this sounds a little silly because I'm an adult, but I was genuinely starting to get overwhelmed with fear. I remember turning down this alleyway and I just went, I don't know what to do. I don't know where I am, and I'm already directionally challenged. I don't know how to find my way out of the old city. I can't speak Hebrew. My phone doesn't work in this country. I don't know the address of the place we're staying. I don't know anyone, and I don't know how to get home. I am a young female by myself, and no one would notice if I vanished off the face of the earth. I'm not street smart at all, and I don't remember, and I don't know what to do or where to go. I was alone, and fear was my closest friend. And I remember being in that alleyway, proper freaking out, trying to slap myself around and tell myself, you're an adult, stop this, you're fine. But I couldn't get a grip on it. I was gripped with fear. And I know it sounds silly, but I was gripped with fear, and I just remember standing in that alleyway with my backpack on the front of me because I thought I was going to get robbed. I remember saying out loud, Holy Spirit, you better help me. I know that's not a very reverent way to talk to God, but I was in a desperate place. Holy Spirit, you better help me. And the next part I can't explain very well. I'm not sure how best to put it into words, but my experience was this. Immediately, peace flooded my body. And I just got this very real and tangible sense that I was not alone. That I was not alone. And in fact, the person who was with me was God. And I suddenly did not have to fear, not because I just sucked it up and moved past it, but rather because I had this overwhelming knowledge and sense that God was with me. And my gut stopped gurgling just in time, thank you. And my breathing came good. And I felt safe and at peace. If God was with me and if God was for me, then I had everything I needed in that time. If God is with me and God is for me, then I have everything that I need. In every season, in every anxious moment, in every battle, in every good time, the Lord is my shepherd and I have all that I need. It wasn't for another 45 minutes that I eventually ran into my family. But honestly, throughout those 45 minutes, to everyone else it would have looked like I was this vulnerable, alone human. But I just want to say that I felt like a boss walking through those markets because I just had this real sense that I was not alone, that God was with me. And so I just, for those 45 minutes, continued shopping, got some great bargains, and then in this very nonchalant way, ran into my family later on. I was not alone in those markets, and I sensed that in a way that I just can't express to you. And I'm not alone now, and you are not alone now. God is far greater than any season you face. God's never promised that life would be easy, but he has promised to be with us. And he is worthy of all our praise and our worship. There's a song you got to look up when you get home. It's called The Desert Song. And this is a song that's been, on repeat for me for the last few months. The Desert Song. And it says this, in the bridge, it says, "All of my life, in every season, you are still God, and I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. All of my life, in every season, you are still God, and I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship." I know from experience in life that life can be far more difficult than the story I just shared. And sometimes in those seasons, we can question all sorts of things about God, but the challenge for us is to lift our eyes above our circumstances and be reminded of a God who is almighty, who is loving, who is powerful, who empathizes with our every weakness, a God who never changes, who is steadfast and faithful. To lift our eyes above our circumstances and remember, God is my shepherd. I have all that I need. That even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid because you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So is there stuff that you need to give over to God, stuff you're not trusting God with at the moment? Are you in a season of life where you're not surrendering and allowing God to be all you need? I invite you to work out what it means if it's true that God is with you. If it's true that he is all you need, how can that truth transform your life and the way that you live your life this week? Let's read the first four verses of that Psalm 23 just before Micah and the band take back over. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me.